Now, last week, we started off the year with declaring that this is the year that God has called us to radical generosity. Do y'all remember that? Radical generosity. Generosity is giving more than is usual or than is expected. And I declared in the house last week that God has promised us that as we are radically generous, we give more than is usual and is expected in the things that he has called us to do, that he is going to bless this house, and not only bless this house, but bless all of God's people who are obedient. And not only is he going to meet the needs of this house, he's going to meet needs that we don't even know that we have. And do you know, I'm only giving you a teaser, but did you know that the day after that message was declared, someone called me to have a meeting, and we met that Monday. And when I tell you that the offer that was made, you just have to know that it was God. I am meeting with our board today, right after church, to talk about this because it was a God blessing. I want to shout and run up and down the aisle, but I'm going to contain myself this morning, because the point is, when you are obedient and you do what God has called you to do, I'm telling you, there's a blessing in the house. If you would just be obedient, things that we have been trying to do for years that could never get done in a day open just like that. And so we are just thankful for the things that God is doing and what he's about to do. And I just tell you, if you be obedient, God is going to bless. It was a promise. God has promised that if you're obedient in the things that he calls you to do, he's going to bless you. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, what is it, Mike? Proverbs chapter 11. Are y'all with me? Proverbs chapter 11. I guess I need to go ahead and get my pad, because I thought they was going to be with me. But he promised us in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25, he says, a generous person will prosper. Yes. Do you see that? Those who are generous to the things. Remember what I told you last week. See, many times people think that when the pastor is saying be generous, he's saying just be generous to the things that the pastor wants you to do. It's not what I said. I said, whatever God leads you to do, he will lead you. Be generous. Give more than is usual or is expected in the things that he leads you to do. And he says that as we do that, you will prosper. Amen. Why? Because as you refresh some other people, God says that you yourself will be what? Refreshed. Amen. So the word of the house in this year is to be radically generous to whatever God leads you to do. Amen. In other words, stop being stingy. Look at your neighbor and say, stop being stingy. When God tells you to do something, if you're walking in the store and God says, bless that woman and pay for her groceries, buy her groceries and get her a bag of chips. Be generous. Go over and above what God tells you to do. You're going to be blessed for that. Now, here's what I want to talk to you about today, because God has been leading on me this, is that it's hard to be generous when you broke. And the reason why some of us can't be generous, the reason why you're always stingy, the reason why you never sow into other people is because you head above your heels in debt. We have a big problem, particularly in our community, with debt. And so over these next 2 or 3 weeks, God has been telling me that you need to tell them people how to get out of debt. Listen, there is an anointing also to not be blessed for being generous, but there's an anointing for getting out of debt. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to get out of debt. It's coming. Anybody excited about that? That this is the year that God says, I want you to start taking actions to get your butt out of debt. Now watch this. We live in a culture where debt is king. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Debt is the American way. I did some research in preparing for this. And do you know that most of you probably know this, that the American debt now stands at over $23 trillion. You remember when we were young, we used to say a million, then a gazillion, and then a billion. It's 23 $1 trillion. And I said, how much money is that? How much money is that? You know, I was reading an article and it says that $23 trillion is so much money that if you could take dollar bills and stretch them, it would go from the earth all the way to the sun. Y'all know the earth, the sun is a long ways away, right? We can't even take a space shuttle there because it's so far away. If you took dollars, it'll stretch all the way to the sun. It said that if you took a U.S. military jet that travels at the speed of sound, and if you somehow was able to put $23 trillion on a wheel that would zzz as you was kind of speeding away, it would take 14 years at the speed of sound before the dollars would run out. That's how much debt we're in. In fact, I was looking at it, and it says that the total U.S. currency in bills that we have, dollars, $5, $20, $100 bills, amounts to about $39 billion. If you were to add up all the ones in circulation that we have, it's about $39 billion bills that are in circulation in the United States. And then it says that also all the coins, the dimes, the pennies, the nickels, the quarters, amounts to about, I think it was like $29 billion in circulation. So when you understand that you're about $70 billion with all the money that you got printed in the United States, and you ain't even got to $100 billion yet. And remember, to get to $1 trillion, you need 999,999,999 billion to just get to $1 trillion, and we in $23 trillion. Debt is the American way. But it's not just us as a country that's in debt. When you do the research, most of the people in this room is in debt. Come on, y'all know we talk about the government bad, but how many know that most of us are in debt too? You can't blame the government when you're in the same situation. I looked at a statistic and it said, listen, the average homeowner, the average person who owns, listen, this is how much debt the average person is in. The average person has a house payment of at least $1,000 and $1,030. A car payment, a new car payment on average is about $530. Student loans is about $280. Some of y'all looking be like, hey, my student loans is a lot higher. At least mine are. But on average, that's what it was. It said the average credit card debt, and that varies, about $300. So the average person has a debt of $2,140 before you start adding on gas and insurance and cell phone bills and clothes and entertainment and all that other type of stuff. Now, listen, that may not seem like that much money to you, but when you consider that the average median salary or the average salary that a person makes is $32,000 or roughly $2,700 a month before taxes. Before taxes. So when you look at it, $2,700 before taxes and the average bill if you own a house around $2,100 before taxes, it's not so hard to see why so many people are in debt, right? Because when you look at that, you don't have a whole lot of balance, and people are beginning to live beyond their means, particularly in our community. So what you have is you have a lot of people who look nice. They got the bling bling. They got the nice dress. They got the nice car. They got the nice house. They got all of these different types of things, but you up to your eyeballs in debt. You remind me of this guy right here. Have y'all seen this commercial?
Oh, yeah. I'm Stanley Johnson. I've got a great family. I've got a 4-bedroom house and a great community. Like my car? It's new. I even belong to the local golf club. How do I do it? I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. I can barely pay my finance charges. Somebody help me.
Come to lending. Now, I did that on purpose. Listen, because the truth of the matter is, particularly in our community, we got too much debt. And everybody's looking good, right? But we got too much debt. And what I found is that in America, debt may be the American way, but it's not God's way. You hear me? Listen, America has a system built on debt. The very FICA score that you have, how many got, you know, like your FICA score to be real good and all that type of stuff? It's just a debt statistic. It's just a debt rating. If you have no debt, then you literally have no FICA score, right? And so what's beginning to happen is because America, debt is the American way, God's people are beginning to believe that debt is also God's way. And that the only way that I can get ahead, the only way that I should be living the way how life is supposed to be is if I live in debt. But when you look at your Bible, the Bible says that God says, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. That God's way is not for his people to be in debt. Amen. Listen, I came to break a debt demon today. Come on. Listen to me. I came to declare over you that that spirit of debt is going to be broken today. Watch this. Hang on with me now. See, God says, I never planned for my people to be in debt. That may be the American way, but it's not God's way. What's God's way? God says in Romans chapter 13, verse 8, he says, owe no one anything except to. Watch this. Wait a minute now. I know what that passage is saying. When you read it, it is talking about love, right? But when you read it, there's a principle there. And the principle is you shouldn't be owing all these people that money, except the only thing that you really are supposed to be owing people is to love them. Amen. Come on, Pastor. Listen to me. See, I'm trying to reverse the thinking. Because the thinking is that it's okay for me to be in debt and to buy all this stuff that I want in debt because it allows me to get what I want. But God says that there are reasons why he doesn't want his people in debt. And in his system, he never designed it for his children to be in debt. In fact, God says it should be the reverse. Instead of you borrowing money, you're supposed to be lending money. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 6, he says, for the Lord your God will bless you just as he promised you. You shall what? Lend to many nations, but what? You shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they should not what? Somehow that system has gotten reversed. And the people of God are the main ones borrowing. Yes. Listen, in fact, when you read your Bible, most of the time when you find anything with debt related to God's people, it's not a blessing, it's a curse. Amen. For example, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15, notice what it says. But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statute, which I command you today, that what? All these curses will come upon you and what? Overtake you. Then he starts listing out what all these curses will be. Go to 43. Notice what it says. This is one of the curses. The alien or the stranger who is among you shall what? Rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down what? Go to verse 44. He shall what? He shall lend to you. But you shall do what? But what's the condition of the most people in the church? You borrowing, but you're not lending to nobody else. The system has been reversed. Now, let me ask you the question. Why is it that God does not want his people borrowing? What's the problem or what's the issue that God has that the reason why he doesn't want you in all this debt? The reason why is because when you borrow from someone else, you become a slave to them. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7, the rich rule over the, and the borrower is what? Pastor, I ain't no slave. You not? Why you get up in the morning and go to work? Go on and tell the truth. Most of you don't even like the job that you go to, but you get up in that morning and go. Why? Because you have no choice but to go. Because that car payment is due. Why ain't nobody saying amen? Visa is due. All that stuff that it is that you buying is due. Watch this. And God says, when you start borrowing, you become a slave to the person that you borrow from. Watch this. And when you become a slave, you can't do what you want to do. You got to do what they want you to do. Can you tell the truth? Can I tell the truth? Listen, the reason why some of us can't serve God the way we should is because we're too busy serving another master. MasterCard. Ain't nobody saying amen. Come on. Tell the truth. Listen, the reason why you can't tithe the way how God tells you you're supposed to tithe is because you owe too many people money. Visa, Master, Citi, Chase, American Express. Come on, amen's going down. Watch this. And you got to serve them. So when God says give 10% here, you may want to give, but you can't. You know why? Because you shackled down and chained to the dead. Now, let me say this. That doesn't mean that all debt is wrong. Right? Watch this. It doesn't mean that that all debt is a sin. You know how I can say that? It's because God said that you shall lend and not borrow. In other words, if it was a sin, why would God say that you shall lend in the first place? Right? There are some debt that can be good. Right? Some debts, you know, some people argue, you can look at all the financial costs. To me, some debt can be good. If you buy a house is an appreciable asset, if you buy it, to where generally it appreciates over time. Most people, particularly most of us, are not going to have hundreds of thousands of dollars to go buy a house cash. Would you agree? There's some debt that can be good. If you own a business and your business is growing and it's expanding and your customer base is big, sometimes it makes sense to invest to expand your operation, things like that. There may be certain fields of education to where with a student loan, sometimes you may have to do that to get where you're going. But the problem is, it's not that. The problem for us is that most of us are getting into debt, investing in stuff that don't got no value to it. Amen went down. We invested in things that don't appreciate. They depreciate before you get out the stove. That new hat you put on. The new shoes. Wait a minute, I ain't even got to my message yet. This is opening. The new shoes. You know, listen, ain't nothing wrong with a car if you can pay it, but you do know that a car is a depreciation asset. Before you drive it off the lot, it's already dropped in value. Right? So it's not so much that all debt is bad, but most of the stuff that we're going into debt for has no value at all. Right? So God says you got to break that. Now, if you're going to break the debt, then you got to know how the enemy is getting us into debt. Right? And so I want to talk to you about three traps that the enemy uses to get us in debt. Now, you may not like this part, but I'm going to be all right. Three ways that he gets us into debt. Y'all know what a trap is, right? A trap is something that on the surface looks good, but when you actually get a hold of it, you come to find out that it's bad. Right? So let me give you these three things. Listen, and I want you to be aware of them and immediately break them if you're doing it. Amen? What's the first one? What's the first way that the enemy, and there's many of them now, I just picked three of them. What's one of the main ways that the enemy uses to get us into debt? Watch this. It's one simple word. Discontentment. Yeah, we're going that way. Watch this. Now, one of the primary ways he gets us into debt is discontentment. You may say, well, what is discontentment? Discontentment is when a person is not satisfied with what they have. Watch it. I did some research, and it said that in the United States, we spent over $240 billion on marketing and advertising last year. Let me ask you a question. What do you think was the purpose of the marketing and the advertising of $240 billion. Watch this now. It's to alert you of new products and things that have come out. But can I tell you that one of the major reasons or the major purposes is to make you discontent with what you already have. Watch this. It's to make you feel like the clothes that you got are out of style. It's to make you feel like the car that you driving that ain't nothing wrong with, you need to get another one because you got to keep up with the Frasers. See, y'all thought I was going to say the Joneses. I don't even know where the Joneses came from. It ain't the Joneses. But wait a minute now. Hang with me for a second. The purpose is to make, where do you think you get that from? Where do you think you get that I got a 2013 Honda Accord, it's paid for. But I don't want this car no more. I need to go get me. Where did that come from? Where do you think you get this from that I don't like my current hairstyle? Somebody say no amen on that one. Go on to the next one. Go on to the next. They say go to the next one. Now listen, let's be honest. Hey, where's my clock? I need to keep on my clock. Where do you think all that's coming from? Your car. Some of us got nice houses. Oh no, your house is no longer good anymore. You know, your purse. Oh, my purse is no longer good enough. I need the new Louis Vuitton purse. I'm pray for her. We still working on my wife. Watch this. Here's what I'm saying. Pay attention to what's going on because we live in a system that's meant to make you discontent with what you have. Watch this. And if you're not careful, it'll always keep you in the debt because it'll always keep you thinking that if I get that, that'll make me happy. If I can get the dress that Lynn, if somebody could get the dress that Lynn got on, because I don't want the dress. I don't want nothing to do with it. That then I'll be happy. Watch this. And it's a cycle that you'll never get out of. Let me give you an example. I got a wife. My wife liked nice things. How many of you got wives that like nice things? Boy, ain't no men even want to raise a hand. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. Right. Thank you. Stand up for it. I appreciate you. So watch this. My wife likes nice things. So when we both were working in the corporate field, you know, before I took over this pastor job, we both were very far along in our career and we're doing fairly well. I say this all the time. If you've been working in your field 20, 30 years, you should be at the top of your pay range. Come on, somebody say amen. Don't get mad at the pastor, whoever it is. You should be at the top of your pay range. You should be doing well if you're doing your job, right? So my wife and I, we doing our thing. And so she start deciding that she liked these nice cars. And so we have our first child. And then she said, okay, well, you know, we're about to start having children. Then maybe we ought to think about getting a van. And she said, okay. I said, okay. She said, well, I can't drive just any van. It got to be a hooked up van. And so the first car that we end up getting is this Mercedes R-Class van. Honey, if I get that, then I'll be all right. So we get in this R-Class van. About a year later, she drives and say, well, you know, I can't be no soccer mom. You know, I'm driving around in this van too long. I need a little something else. She said, honey, if you just get me this one right here, this little Mercedes, I need a little SUV. I don't need a big one. Just get me something that I can lean back in, a little something that's going to be nice. And she's talking about, if you just get me this one, honey, if we just get this one, I promise I'm going to be satisfied. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to drive this thing till the wheels rot off of it. I'm good. So we get this car. Watch this. Pay it off. It was paid off. We driving it. You got the same reaction I did. To one day, it's paid off. It's good. It's under warranty. One day, we driving down the road. She's like, oh, honey, Mercedes just came out with this new, what was it, a GLE? That one right there. And I'm like, well, what's the point of going down there? Oh, I just want to go down there and look at it. Why are we going down there to look at it? The car you have is already paid off. You said if we got that one, you're going to be happy. Oh, no, I just want to go down there and look at it, honey. It's new. We go down there to look at the car. The gosh darn salesman come out. Why don't you go ahead and sit on in the thing, ma'am? Just sit on in. She get in there and sit on. He's like, ooh-wee. Ooh, that car looked good on you. That car right there was made for you. And I'm sitting there like, man, what you doing, man? The salesman was my uncle. I'm like, man, I'm just bringing her down here so I can just say that I brought her down here. He got up. Oh, girl, that car was made. Oh, that car is saying something right there. It's saying something right there. Next thing you know, she get out of the car. All I'm hearing is, honey, 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 you know, if we just, babe, the car you have is paid off. Oh, but honey. Oh, honey, if we just get this one, I promise I ain't gonna ever, never, never, never want anything again. Long story short, y'all remember seeing the black one out there for many years. We driving that one. Next thing you know, and she loved that car. It was a good car. Next thing you know, why is she coming up to me talking about, ooh, honey, you know, Tesla got some new cars that are coming out again. I say, a Tesla. Listen, to make a long story short, see, we bought car after car after car. Watch this. And what I learned is there wasn't nothing wrong with the cars that we had before. Watch this. And some of us are getting into debt buying all this stuff. See, the system we are in is set up to make you unsatisfied with what you have, to spend money that you don't have on things that you don't need. Listen, you will never get out of debt if you keep buying into the system that what you have. Listen, you'll never get out of debt as long as you have the mindset that once I get this, then I'm going to be completely happy. Why? Because for most of us, if you're honest, once you get it, it'll last you maybe for a little while before you decide I need something else. Listen to what the Bible says. Go to the next one. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 10 and 11 says, he who loves money will never have enough money to what? You can substitute whatever you want with that. He who loves the Mercedes GLE or whatever it is, when they get that, how many of you know the next year they're going to come out with the GL4, the GL5, or the GL12, and it never satisfies. It says it is the same for the one who loves to get many things. This also is for what? Nothing. Can I just say something? What you have, listen, there's nothing wrong with getting something new if you can pay for it. The problem is many of us are getting things when there's nothing wrong with what you have and you don't even have the money to buy it. And as long as you're doing that, you're never going to get out of debt because there's always going to be something else coming. Go to the next verse. Here, listen to what Paul says. He says, 1 Timothy 6, now godliness with what? Notice he didn't say discontentment. He says with contentment. Here's a word for some of you. You need to be content or satisfied with what God has already given you. Have you ever heard the scripture that says comparing yourself amongst yourselves is not? As long as you are comparing yourself to what everybody else have, listen, you will always be broke. Because someone else is always going to have something better, new. It's what happens with like Alabama and FSU. They always comparing themselves to the Gators. And they will never get on that level. Boy, I got some Seminole haters up in here, y'all. Listen, I ain't get a smile or nothing. They ain't chain cheese or nothing. We got some haters up here. Y'all going to be all right. You're going to be all right. He says, and having, notice what he says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing with these be what? That's a word for somebody. Listen, be content with what you have until God gives you the means to buy something else. First aid. Second trap that the enemy gets us into, and I'm going to do these quickly. Second trap is when you charge or incur debt on credit cards without a full understanding of the minimum payment trap and interest. I know some of this is basic, but if it was so basic, most of us wouldn't be doing it. The trap is that the enemy gets you to charge this stuff. You remember when you used to get a loan, you used to have to go into an office and go through this whole formal process to get a loan. Now they've made it so simple. How many know that when you're spending somebody else's money, you don't even think about it. It's just two. And what many of us are doing, listen, is you're getting trapped. It's a trap using these credit cards because if you're not careful, you'll never pay them off. Let me give you an example. When I was young, I got my first job, 16, working at Publix, and you couldn't tell me nothing because I was making I believe it was about $175, almost $200 a week. You couldn't tell me. I was getting paid, girl. And so I got my money, and not too long after I got that, I got a letter in the mail from Sears with a credit card. And see, I said, okay, somebody now recognized that I'm a responsible young man. And they said, see, I didn't recognize the trap. So I got the card, and you know, I started going to Sears and just buying stuff. And you know, I didn't even do construction. I wasn't a handyman, but I was just like, that look nice. Boy, I could use me a good hammer right now, and I could use me a good disc. Watch this. And I just started buying stuff. Anybody need a tool? You need something, brother? Let's go to Sears. I can hook you up. Watch this. And what I didn't notice was when I would buy stuff, Sears would send me a letter of a bill, right? And the bill would not be for what I just paid for. It would be a little minimum payment, $30, $40, whatever it is. And I say, oh, God, this is a blessing right here. This is a blessing because I can pay this back over time. I can manage this little $30, $40 payment. And you know, as long as I kept making that payment, Sears started doing something. They kept increasing the limit. They kept increasing the limit. As long as I was making that minimum payment, they kept increasing my limit. And what I didn't recognize was, watch this, was that as my balance kept going up, so did my minimum payment. Watch this. And the trap is, once you get to the point to where you can't afford the minimum payment, you're done. Right? See, here's the trick. Some of us are spending too much on these credit cards with just the thought that all I have to do is pay the minimum payment. Listen, as long as you pay the minimum payment, you will almost certainly never pay that credit card off. Let me give you an example. Go to that slide. Here was an example I found on just, think about this. This is just, if you're making the minimum payment on $1,000, just on $1,000, it says that for February, you know, it shows what the payment is and how much of it's going to interest. You see that? You make the payment, $45, $26, $16, $43, going so forth, all the way going down. What I want you to pay attention to is in the top right corner where I put that little arrow. Do you see what it says? It says paying off $1,000 by only paying the minimum balance would take almost what? 11 years to pay that card off. Do you know that you would have almost for surely doubled, if not tripled, the initial cost that you paid by just making that minimum payment? 11 years. Now think about it. That's just one card. When the average number of cards that most people have is about 4, 5, 6 of them jokers. Amen. So if you're looking to get out of debt, another thing is stop putting money on the credit cards. I got 2 or 3 amens. Thank you. Stop putting money on the credit cards. Now listen, I got to close. One more. Let me go and do this last one. The third one is the way how they get us into debt is co-signing. I'm just going to go ahead and just say this, and then I'm going to go ahead and get ready to close. Co-signing. In case you don't know what co-signing is, let me explain to you what it is. It's when someone goes to a bank or an institution whose job it is to give loans, and they evaluate the risk of that person. They look down at their financial situation, their past history, and all the things. And the company who decides that it is our business to give you money looks at them and says, I don't think I can loan you this money because you ain't going to pay me back. So what I want you to do, I want you to go out and find some idiot, and I want you to get them to agree to sign to pay for this bill when you don't pay for it. That's essentially what it is. Watch this. But what you may not know is God warns to say, don't do it. What's the scripture? Proverbs 22:26 says, do not be one of those who shakes hands in a pledge. One of those who what? You know what surety is? You're the guarantor to pay that debt. But pastor, it's my daughter and she need a car. Let me give you some advice. If you don't have the money in your budget, don't be surety for them. This ain't me giving you the advice. It's what the Bible says. Don't do it. In fact, the Bible says that when you do it, he who is surety for a stranger will what? He's saying, don't be surprised when that joker that you're signing for don't pay the bill. But my nephew need it. If you ain't got the money, no, he don't. No, you don't need no money. If you don't got the money to pay for it, the Bible says don't do it. Don't put yourself in that situation. Let me give you one more. Notice what he says, and I want you to tell me what this is saying to you. He says, Proverbs 17:18, a man devoid of what? Shakes hands in a what? Now, what is that saying to you? Void of understanding. That's the Bible saying in a polite way, you kind of stupid. You ignorant. That's the Bible telling you, you don't understand what's going on. Fred Sanford, you big dummy. What are you talking about? Right. So let me close with this. So we're talking about getting out of debt. Let me give you a few things. A few things I want you to do. Number one, stop charging on them credit cards. Tear them up, cut them up. Number two, sell things that you have that can pay off the debt. Some of you are saying, I need God to do a miracle to help me pay off some of these bills. And God says the miracle is already in your house. Can I tell you something of how I'm so proud of my wife? Because, see, when my wife got serious about paying off debt, do you know what she did? She came to me and said, baby, because all this car was doing, my wife traveled so much, all the car was doing was sitting at the airport. You know what she came to me one day? I said, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I had been praying, but I said, Lord, I had to do the, oh, thank you, Jesus. She came to me and said, baby, what if we just sell the car? I said, the black one? She said, yeah. We sold the car, and she went out and traded in her black Mercedes for a Kia Soul. Wait a minute now. That white Kia Soul you saw right there is what she traded. See, that's when you know you're serious about getting out of debt. Because you know what we did? We cashed in that Mercedes and bought that white Kia out there for cash. And can I tell you something? It feels so much good, so better, so much gooder, so much better. Not having a car payment. Anybody in here don't got a car payment? Can I tell you what I see? The people in here who don't got a car payment are smiling. You know why? Because they're happy. Can I tell you something? It feels good to know when I go out there and drive my car, I ain't got no car payment. My black Escalade out there, I don't know if it looked new or whatever it is, that's a 2012. And you know what so many people have tried to convince me to do? Pastor, it's time to upgrade and get you another one. But can I tell you something? That truck paid off, baby. Man, what am I going to do? What you want me to go get another car for? Listen, That's the mindset some of us need to start developing. Stop letting people get you in more and more and more debt. For what? That car is already driving good. I know I got to close. Listen, I remember my daddy told me this. He says, when you, I was trying to get him to get me some Jordans. And I said, man, you so cheap, dude. I'm in high school. How you want me walking around in them hot bottoms, man? I need you to upgrade this. And you know what this joker right here had the audacity to tell me? He said, when you get a job, he said, I want you to save the money and then go out there and buy them shoes. And do you know I never had a pair of Jordans until I got grown? You know why that's so important? Is because when you save the money and then you think about having to give it away, you'll find out that many things you'll be like, no. Listen, see, I know I gotta close, but watch this. See, when you look at Mercedes and you spend $80,000 on a car, I promise you, if you worked and saved $80,000 and had to go down there and write that check out of your account, I promise you, you wouldn't do it. When you had to work, however many years you had to work to get that $80,000, there is absolutely no way you would go do that. Amen. But watch this. As long as you focusing in on that minimum payment. Yeah. Because how many know nowadays with these cars, they're stretching them out 5, 6. I heard somebody say they're going up to 10 and 12 years. I mean, that's not a car payment. It's an auto payment, like a mortgage payment or something like that on that car. You're going to end up paying twice the amount of the car. Stop using the credit cards. Number three, and I'm going to be talking about these over the next couple, 2 weeks, is you need to get your butt on a budget. Somebody say budget. Boy, nobody want to say the B word, but we're going to be talking about it next week. You need to get your butt on a budget, and you need a savings plan. I call it saving for a rainy day. Amen. Listen, I got to close. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this time and this opportunity, Lord. Okay, so what do we need to do? I promise you, all of us in here, probably got at least 2 or 3 credit cards. Okay? And I'm going to tell you, as long as you keep adding on them credit cards, you're probably never going to pay them things off. And listen to what I'm saying. Some of you are going to be paying for stuff that you can't even wear no more. You're going to be paying for stuff that have no, it's going to take you 5, 10 years. You don't even have this stuff anymore, and yet you're still paying on it.